The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to WVUD's Campus Voices, weekly conversations with interesting members of the university community, visitors to campus, and others engaged in thought-provoking research and community service. Stay tuned for Campus Voices on WVUD.
Good morning and welcome to Campus Voices on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Today, Allie Delaney and I have a very special guest, the newly named provost of the university, Robin Morgan. In 1985, Robin Morgan joined the university as an assistant professor of animal and food sciences in UD's College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and she has a distinguished career as a teacher, scholar, and administrator, and has held a variety of positions here at the university, including dean of the College of Agriculture and Natural Sciences, which is where I first met you, and the chair of the Department of Biological Sciences over in the College of Arts and Sciences. And in October 2017, you were named the interim provost, and in May, you were just named the permanent provost, the 11th provost of the university. Provost Morgan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Provost Morgan, my first question is, the provost is the university's chief academic officer. What exactly is that, and what is your day-to-day role in the university?
So you're right. They do call me a chief academic officer. To me, what that means is that I'm in charge at some level of everything academic. So that means all of the teaching programs, the educational programs we have for both graduate students and undergraduates, and even pipeline programs for people who are checking out UD before they actually matriculate. I'm also in charge of the research programs across the disciplines. We could talk more about that later if you want, because it's one of the most interesting things I've learned since coming into this role. And also the outreach program. So the university is a land-grant university, and so we want to reach out into the community and share the resources that we have. So that sort of comes under the role, too. What you do really as a provost, I think, is enable the faculty and the students and everybody at the university to be the best that they can be. So you want to take their ideas and listen to them and then channel them in ways that launch the university forward and that meet the needs, first of all, of our students, but also of our faculty and the whole communities that we serve.
What are some of the ways you plan to launch the university forward?
We will do that by diversifying our faculty and our student body, trying to make sure that we have all kinds of voices here on campus and that this is a very welcoming place where lots of people want to come and want to learn. We will be on a very aggressive hiring plan over the next 5 to 7 years, probably. Maybe take a little longer. But that's an exciting thing to see happen, because as we bring in new faculty, we'll be enlarging our faculty. We will bring in all kinds of new expertise into the university. So I think that'll be very, very exciting.
You're talking about recruiting, and one of the things that you're known as is in your tenure as dean of the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and even as interim provost, is really making inclusive excellence be part of your recruiting philosophy. What's the value of that to the university?
I think there's a huge value in bringing together all kinds of expertise. So you want people who have different ideas and different experiences and different talents. So everyone can't be a great athlete, but we certainly want some great athletes. Everyone can't be a great artist. We certainly want great artists. So you want to bring together people who have all different sort of talents and expertises. And that also goes with their different backgrounds, because when they come from different backgrounds, could be different nationalities, certainly different geographies, but just different socioeconomic groups, you get different perspectives. And so you can look at a problem or a goal and come up with different ways that you can address that. It helps you understand better where each person is and where we are as a group and as a society. So I think it's essential to bring all those people together and to make sure that everyone is listened to.
In a blog post of an interview with you and Judy Huff Goldstein and Lisa Griffiths and I guess Sherry Kito, you said that you knew that the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources turned a corner once you'd lost track of the number of female faculty members.
That's correct. That is true. I was dean at the time. So when I came into the college, I was the third woman who had been hired, but the first in animal and food sciences. And for quite a few years, the majority of undergraduate students in the college had been women. So Sherry and Judy were both there before me, and they were, of course, very, very welcoming. But we knew there were three of us, and gradually there was another and another. And so a few years later, when I was dean, someone asked me how many women were there, and the number did not come right out of my mouth. So it was no longer something I was thinking about all the time, or that there were so few that I, four. And that to me was a corner turned when I had to actually sit and count to know how many there were. So I felt like that was, it's sort of a funny line in an article, but it was for me a moment that I thought, we've really gotten somewhere when I'm not sitting around thinking about that all the time.
Are you having experiences like that now as provost? Was you're looking at the different kinds of faculty that we're hiring?
Oh, I'm definitely having that. We are looking at the diversity of our new hires very, very closely. And I'm really pleased to see progress in the right direction. It's very hard to actually change the statistics on our entire faculty because most people who come to UD as a faculty member stay here for a very long time. I've been here 33 years. That's not true for everyone, but it's often true. But you can make a tremendous difference if you look at the new people that you bring in. You have a great ability to think about diversity in your hiring practices. And I think we're making very good progress there.
I know that you are the first female provost of the University of Delaware. And as a female student, that's very inspiring to me. And it feels like doors are opening everywhere. What would you say is the significance of being the first female provost?
I think it's important to recognize how many women came before me. Many, many women have played vital roles at this university. Many of them have been role models for me. Dozens of them have reached out to me in the last 2 weeks, just with their little word of whatever, and it means a lot to me. But I don't think there's anything so significant about me as an individual. It is all of us together who have earned the stripes and worked our way and persisted and stayed here and just we kept on doing what we were motivated to do, hiring students, creating all sorts of discoveries, doing our research, doing writing, researching all kinds of things and reaching into the community. And over time, based on the incremental progress that many, many women have made at this university, this happens to be another step. And I'm the lucky person who happens to be in that role right now. But I think a lot of people deserve the credit for that.
In addition to the change in, if you will, gender balance at the university, you've been here, as you said, since 1985. What other kinds of changes have you seen in the past 33 years?
I've seen the university grow up. I mean, I guess we all did during those years, but it's grown up. It's become a much more research-intensive university. So we do, in many areas, state-of-the-art research, just incredibly exciting things. I think we've also become much more engaged in the community, taking a role as entrepreneurs, being a driver of economic development. The university has a long history of being engaged in Delaware and the region, but our impact, our potential for impact on economic development to me has never been greater than it is right now. It's grown in terms of size and facilities and just trying to really always put the student first and think about what do we want to be in the future. So I have seen tremendous changes. And I think what I love about UD is that in the face of all those changes, it still has the flavor of the university that I came here to be a part of. I loved the size. And I think many people would agree with that. It's large enough to have all the things you expect in a big university. It's a big library. You can see people around campus who are from all over the world. You can take a course in whatever. And yet it's small enough that when you walk across the campus, you see someone you know. It's small enough that in a particular college, a portfolio, or a unit, it actually has the feeling of a relatively small campus. I like that balance that we have here at the University of Delaware.
You're listening to WVUD, and today on Campus Voices, we are talking with the newly named Provost Robin Morgan. So how will your perspective as a long-term member of the UD community affect your role going forward as Provost?
That's a very good question. It's interesting to be able to look back, but it's really important not to be tied down by what has been in the past. So I'm often in a meeting and someone will come up with an idea, and I actually know that that's been tried way back when, and I try not to say that. So I generally will only provide the history if asked, because I don't think we should be confined by that. On the other hand, there are quite a few occasions where someone will come to me and say, "Do you remember that? What was that like?" And I can usually pull out a couple of papers and some memos and maybe some emails, and we can go back and track it. And often those are they're funny and they're informative and they're important to have. When President Asanas appointed me as the interim, to me, that was a very big statement about how much he valued the faculty at the University of Delaware and the experiences that they had built together before he came. And I still feel that after working with him these past 6 months. He's very forward-thinking, but he is interested in the foundations upon which this university is growing, and he wants to appreciate them.
With the role of provost, what type of interaction do you have with President Asanas and deans of other colleges?
So with the president, I've been working closely with the president for 6 months, and you probably know he and his wife are very outgoing, very welcoming people. So it didn't take very long to understand that. I give him my honest opinion whenever he asks and sometimes when he doesn't, because I want to share that. I think it's a great working relationship. It's been very fun to work with him. I'm comfortable with that. I'm included in many, many meetings, many, many ideas. A lot of times they're just ideas that fly across the email or text messages. I keep his counsel when I have a lot of questions or ideas or when I just need some advice. So I find that it's really quite fun to work with him. That doesn't mean that we agree on absolutely everything, but it's been a real pleasure to have a colleague. I mean, I trust him as I would a research colleague. I've had many collaborations over my years in the lab, and you know when it's a good partnership, you're going to create things together, and that there's a very good feeling there that I think is mutual. So he's quite fun to work with. Even Atlas, the dog, Atlas followed me out of the office the other day. He had to be called back in, so that's pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah.
He's a cute dog. Now, relationship with the deans. So as provost, I sit in the middle between the president and the deans. That doesn't mean the president doesn't interact with the deans, too. He does very much, but that's my role in the middle. And so working with the deans is really, really important to me. I've been a dean, so I know how that feels. I know what you need to do. I don't always know it in the context of 2018, but I do understand in general what's involved. And I really enjoy all of them. I know them very well, most of them, and I've enjoyed getting to know those who are relatively new. So I meet with them regularly. I would expect them to have my cell phone number. I would expect that same kind of relationship where I'm there anytime that they might want to talk about something or need something. And when they ask for something or want to bounce off ideas, that is my top priority, is to give them my attention and to try to think about what we need. They are running the colleges, which is where the academic programs are lying. We're trying very, very hard to create a lot of interdisciplinary programs. So part of my job is making sure that they have time together and that they are putting together their ideas and their programs in ways that will advance the university.
I'm glad to hear you say that about the interdisciplinary programs, because my experience, having been here about the same time you have, is that it used to be that colleges would cooperate about admitting students, but then once you got here, you found it was hard to follow a major that crossed college lines. But I feel like you're saying we're making progress there.
I think we are making progress, but we have a lot more that could be made. What I'm noticing is that students coming in have always wanted this, but more and more students are looking to be cross-trained. They know that in the world they're going to work in, they may change jobs far more than someone, say, in my generation did. Or they may want to do a job that's requiring expertise from lots of different areas. And so students do want interdisciplinary programs, and they do want to be able to do things across colleges and across units. The reality at a university is that we are organized in a certain way. It's quite interesting to look at other universities because they're organized in their way,
yeah.
And there is no one way. But we sometimes get locked into that organization. So rising above it and trying to do these things across the boundaries is important. I think we're getting better and better at it. With graduate programs, I think if we launch a graduate college, that will be an entity that will help us do that better. At the undergraduate level, we have a lot of avenues for doing that already, but we need to keep working on it. Hiring faculty who have joint appointments, that's an interesting thing. We've been doing more and more of that. And of course, we always have to have someone to have a home department. You have to have a place to hang your hat and get your paycheck. But faculty want that too. They know that they will be more competitive with applying for external grants and contracts if they're taking a multidisciplinary approach to something.
Do you still have your lab?
I do have my lab, but it's
wow.
Much smaller. It's much smaller than it was at one time. But I do have an interesting story about that. So when I came here in 1985, I had an undergraduate research student in my lab. Undergraduate research is very important to me. I did that as an undergraduate student. I had never heard of graduate school, so I didn't know that you could go off to a university and someone would take care of your tuition and pay you a stipend to go to school. That was a very foreign concept to me. I'm first generation college, but I found out. And I found out because I did undergraduate research. So it's always been really important to me to provide those opportunities. So I had an undergraduate student in my lab the first year I was here. And she became ill her senior spring semester and had to be hospitalized. And she wasn't serious, but it was a fairly long time, and I was a brand new faculty member, so we went around and made sure everything was fine for her to graduate, and she graduated, but she didn't have a job. So I said, just work for me a couple months in the summer until you find a job. She still works for me. Now 3 days a week. We've had dogs, we've had kids, we've had marriage. So that has just been a wonderful experience for me. But my lab is very small now, and we are over at the Delaware Biotechnology Institute. We are looking at microRNAs for an avian, a chicken herpes virus, and trying to figure out how those microRNAs could affect the ability of that host bird, the host animal, to mount an immune response against the infection. We use a lot of high-throughput sequencing and some fancy techniques. And I've loved being part of that. But again, I am more interested in seeing my own students stand on the podium. I like to provide opportunities to people. I enjoy keeping the research at the level it is. I think it's much easier to administer research if you're really active in it than if you're doing it from memory. But there's no way that I would. My priority has to be being provost and running the university.
You're listening to Campus Voices, and today we're joined by Provost Robin Morgan. Listening to you paint your experiences as dean and then into provost, I feel like it's going to be a really great mix. And what has stood out to you in your 33 years as a Blue Hen? Are there any specific memories or highlights that come to the mind when you're reflecting on your whole career?
Oh, I've had many, many wonderful experiences. So I'll tell you one that this is funny. At convocation, so we have a convocation for the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, as do many units on campus. And years ago, we decided that when each student walked across the stage to shake hands, they could have on a 3x5 card a few words, maybe two sentences, and they would be read as the student walked across the stage. So if you've been to these events, you know that they're very exciting when your child walks across the stage, but the rest of it can be a little boring. And sometimes there's a lot of quiet as someone's just walking across the stage. You can hear the shoes on the stage, and then they shake hands and get their picture taken, and we keep doing this over and over. So we had these little cards, so you would be reading what someone wrote. And so one memory I have is I'm standing on the stage and I'm getting ready to shake someone's hand. And when they're walking across the stage, the reader reads, "I was UD," and I want everyone to know it. So UD, whoever is UD, UD, the identity of who is UD is not something that is revealed.
Right.
But
yeah.
I just thought that was great to see someone graduate and be able to reveal that they were UD.
When I think of your tenure as the Dean of College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and you've talked about this a little bit already, I think of some of the big outreach things that happened under your tenure, the growth of Ag Day,
yes,
and the growth of cooperative extension, and let's not forget U Dairy.
That's a
yes,
big one.
Yeah. I wanted that.
So as provost, it sounds like you think it's very important for the university as a whole to be engaged in initiatives that touch the community.
Sure.
Why is that so important to UD and to the community?
I think that the University of Delaware is just a shining star for the whole region. And I do think that to have this resource under your nose and not feel like you can rely on it to help with issues or problems would be a shame. So to me, it should not be an ivory tower. It should be a university that's very engaged out there in the community. There are a couple of things that I think about now. Certainly as the Dean of Agriculture, I had the opportunity to travel all over the state. And I was already involved in poultry health research, but I came to learn how multifaceted agriculture is and how it affects the environment. I learned just how important that is economically to this region. So every single day I was meeting new people and broadening myself by being able to be out there. When I think about this role and where we are now, I do think a lot about two areas. There are many areas I'm interested in terms of community development, but I really think a lot about the Star Campus, and as we build there, what kind of opportunities can we create for the region on new types of jobs, and many of them will be science-based, many of them will be based on healthcare outreach. How can we make sure that all the citizens of Delaware in this region have optimal health care? So I'm interested in the opportunities that presents. And I'm also really interested in education in the state and the pipelines coming into the University of Delaware. How can we assure that every student who's graduating from high school is really ready to come here and thrive and flourish with the education that we can provide? And there's a lot to do on both of those fronts. And I think the university should have a role in having those things come to fruition.
I guess another part of it, though, is just the whole idea of University of Delaware being part of the culture, not just part of the economy.
Right.
And I mean, that to me was one of the things about Ag Day and then, oh my God, they've started a dairy.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's actual touching people in ways that they sort of get an emotional connection. Without being a sports fan.
Sure. And that's one of those projects. I use it as an example sometimes because it wasn't a very big project. We had a dairy farm, which has a very, very interesting history. Its history goes back to the dairy herds at Winterthur. But anyway, we had this dairy farm, and what were we going to... We sell the milk. And first, we wanted to have the milk be used on the UD campus. So the idea was that what we produce, we use. And we were able to work with that. And by the way, my friend Tom Sims, who was my deputy dean at the time, deserves a ton of credit for this.
For U Dairy.
Yes. And so we decided to make ice cream. So at first, we just made it and sold it. There was no physical creamery. It was just in little tubs. And of course, I love the little logo. That was designed here on campus. But Tom and I we just felt like we needed a real space for the creamery. And so we got a Unidale grant for that. So it was not a huge investment on the part of the university. And it went up. And of course, I actually have a video of the very first batch that was made on my phone. That was fun. I was there that day. Tom was too. But it's one of those projects that for a relatively minor investment, look where it is. We have the trucks. We now have the creamery in Wilmington. Everybody knows about it. So it's sometimes a good idea doesn't have to cost a whole lot in the beginning, and it can turn into something that has a lot of impact. So when I taught, after I was dean, I went back to the faculty and I taught. And I used to go to class with a half a dozen creamery coupons. This is, I don't know if you've seen them. It's a little bookmark size coupon that gives you a free ice cream. And so I would keep those. And every time a student, or whenever, if I had them, when a student asked a really good, insightful question, I could pop a creamery coupon. And that became kind of funny, you know. If I really like your question, I'll give you a coupon.
Speaking of questions, we probably have time for about two more, and I've got a serious one, and then Allie's got a serious one for you, too. Well,
okay.
And my serious question is, and I know this is a struggle at research universities all across the university, but how as provost, do you think we should be balancing teaching and research? And I know it's especially a sore point with junior faculty at a lot of research universities.
It can be a sore point, but it doesn't have to be. Many people are both fantastic researchers and great teachers. Other faculty sort of lean one way or another. And I don't think we necessarily have to ask everyone to do everything. But certainly, as a group, as a community, we need to do the very best research we can do, and we need to be teaching from the heart, using the latest techniques in pedagogy, and making sure that we aren't just transmitting information, but that students are really learning, and they're learning to learn on their own and to think and to really synthesize information. So I don't see it as a competition at all, never have. I do think we need to be mindful of people's time, because one of the things I notice in our fast-paced world, not just here at the university, but everywhere, is that carving out time to think is hard. We can just sit in our inboxes all day or do the myriad of tasks that come before us. And when you're teaching at a university, when you're designing, devising, and creating, whether it's art or doing science projects or doing social science type projects that affect the community, you're so much better at that if you stop and think instead of just doing all the time. So that takes both self-discipline and time. So when we think about what faculty do, balancing teaching and research, we need to look at that individual and the people with whom they work, the environment they're in, and make sure that we've given them that adequate time to think and to really process what they're doing. I would say the same thing to every student at the university, too. Take time to reflect back on that class or to think about it. And just enjoy it for what you learned and what you gained.
Along with reflecting on all the classes offered here at University of Delaware, what else would you like to say, Provost Morgan, to students like me and students of the future about the University of Delaware and what opportunities will be available to us?
You can do anything. And if anyone tells you that you can't, ignore them. Because you can do anything. Our job is to put you in the best possible position to do that. But in the end, it's going to be your opportunity and your responsibility. And if I could give every student on this campus something, it would be an attitude of, yes, you can. So don't allow yourself to get discouraged. People will discourage you. They'll tell you why you can't do something. I've heard it my whole life. But I've always learned to ignore it and just keep on going.
Thank you so much, Provost Robin Morgan, for joining us here at WVUD.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Campus Voices. The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and do not necessarily reflect the official views of WVUD or the University of Delaware. For more information about Campus Voices and to find archived episodes, visit our website, www.udel.edu/campusvoices. We invite you to tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 for Campus Voices on 91.3 FM, WVUD, and WVUD HD1, Newark, or online at WVUD.org.